Hello and welcome to the Black Tower Podcast's
regularly
scheduled Wednesday recording. I am one of your hosts, your Amon Khan Mahail, the one who waves the flag and sings the songs and occasionally beats the drum, Daniel.
And let me say that when he's waving his flag,
I'm one of your that there other host, also known as that there dumb guy over there that can't speak the English. I'm your Bahama Bijo Mahail. I think that's how you say it in French, you know. So that's just how it is. But I'm Andrew. It's nice to see y'all. How y'all doing? Thanks for coming on.
Hi, back, Andrew.
And I am Sullivan Mahail. Most of people call me Josh. They refer to me as Josh. And I am very happy to be here tonight to talk about some very wonderful things about the Wheel of Time.
A secret to happiness is happiness in your asshole.
Is happiness in your asshole.
And we're starting off early with the movie quote. Anybody who knows what it is, shout it out.
Indeed. I just love more shoddy. I want to punch Josh.
Is happiness in your asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah.
And that's a
welcome,
true statement.
Guys.
That is the key to life.
It's a good day. It's a fun day. It's a nice day. Wherever you are, it doesn't matter what's going on. Any day that I get to hang out with these two lovely gentlemen is a good day. Why is it always when I'm in the middle of talking?
That's like one of the prerequisites to make us laugh. You have to be in the middle of talking.
Yeah, that's it. Right there.
All right, guys. Well, as we all know here at the Black Tower Podcast, not everything that is touched by the shadow is lost. And that is totally true for thegreatblight.com. Now, Nablus and his team have done an amazing job of going ahead and putting this together, and it is possibly the greatest resource for those of us here in the Wheel of Time community. First off, you have this awesome homepage with posts from a bunch of your favorites. Go and find, you can go and check out new things that you've never seen before, keep up to date on content creators that you already follow, and just go ahead and dip as many of your toes or your entire foot as you want into all of the different things that are going on. Now, also here, there is probably the best list of content creators. There's YouTubers, podcasters, artists, musicians, just about everything you could want. And if you don't see your favorite content creator there, that's fine. There is an application included in the site to go ahead and make sure that your favorite content creator is part of it. Just encourage them to fill out the application and Nablus will be in touch. Now, after you've gone ahead and checked that out, you're going to want to pop over to the ever-expanding library here at the Great Blight, because it is something particularly special. Now, I don't know how many times I've gone ahead and joined a fandom only to find out halfway through my first read, looking up a character, that they die in the second to last book, which sucks. It always is very disappointing when you can't look up anything interesting about what you've read for fear of things that you haven't read yet. But they've fixed the problem over at thegreatblight.com. It is a spoiler-free wiki. That's right. That means that if you've only read up to Path of Daggers and you really want to find out what in the world you missed about Egwene because there's something you just don't understand, or if you want to get more information about Rand because you think he's super cool, you don't need to read past Path of Daggers, and it's not going to ruin you on A Memory of Light before you've gotten there. You'll know exactly where to stop. You'll know exactly where you are. And once you're done with that, make sure that you go ahead and help the site out, the content creators out, everything like that, with the beta nature of it. Up here at the top, you're going to see a problem, have a suggestion button. That is specifically for if you have any issues with the site or if you have any feedback. It's only something that we can make better with feedback and with help from the community. So come on down, check it out, grab a couple of our videos or grab a couple of our podcasts, and we'd love to see you there.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
How's everybody doing? Listen.
It's almost like I haven't seen you guys in just over 24 hours.
I will say this. I'm doing freaking fantastic because two of my best friends.
Hey, Josh, came into town. Why are you doing so well?
For my birthday as a surprise to me. And it's still messing with my head.
It was really good. I need some good cake. We got to watch Josh get shot in the face by confetti and possibly nickels.
Possibly there were nickels in my front yard. I want to know who was throwing nickels at me.
I mean, they couldn't make it rain, so they made it my hail.
They made it hail.
I got you, Vander. That was excellent.
Yeah.
No, it was good. It was
now,
good.
Now that Rob has made the joke from Weekly News, like now every time I'm just like, man, why don't we? How did we never incorporate that?
Mahaling, we missed it.
But we dropped the ball, guys. Thanks, and I don't Rob. Mean like 13-year-old boys.
And while you're checking him out, you got to go to blacktowerpod.com and check out all the amazing things that we've got going on there, and soon to be more amazing things. So the only way you're ever going to find out about them is to listen to the show and check the website.
Yeah. Listen to the show, check the website.
I think we should throw out a spoiler warning and jump right in because I am stupid excited about tonight's subject. But it's going to be heavy, 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 heavy spoilers.
So in the interest of brevity, one last comment on new things that are coming. When you're at our website, make sure that you go ahead and click on La Patreon and go ahead and get in at the ground floor because there's some new stuff coming very, very soon, depending on your subjective definition of very.
Truth,
but literally, like, it's no, like, we're not joking, guys. This isn't like, yeah, we're doing stuff, and then 6 months later, there's nothing. Like, I would venture a guess to say that within the next 2 months, maximish, that you will see really new, really cool stuff. Attacked. Yeah, but all right. So for this spoiler warning, you know what? We're going to go with one of my favorites, one of my top three favorites. Doesn't matter that right now we only have three that we really use. But we're going to go with our spoiler warning now. So sit back, relax, close your eyes, and meditate to this beautiful voice.
This is your Black Tower podcast, Wheel of Time spoiler warning. There are neither beginnings nor endings to spoilers, but this is a beginning. If you continue to listen, you may be cursed with the knowledge yet to come. These curses may include knowledge that you are, in fact, just a farm boy. Drinking one glass of wine now leads to mustache pulling and a hell of a hangover. Resigning that you will never be as good with the ladies as your friends are. Realizing Andrel is bae, regardless of your gender or sexual orientation. The inability to stop tugging your braid in anger, even if you don't have hair. An understanding that the word taint is simultaneously a noun, adjective, and verb. Discovering you have more titles than actual name. The BDE, also known as Big Dragon Energy, becomes undeniable. Finding yourself promising to read A New Spring and never getting to it. An uncontrollable urge to argue over inconsistent pronunciations. Knowing that hating Gon is a responsibility, not a privilege. Again, there are no beginnings or endings to spoilers, but this is a beginning. You have been warned.
What an amazing spoiler warning.
Indeed. There you go. Thank you again for that. Registered nerd.
Amazing. If you want to record a spoiler warning of your own, you know, subscribe to our Patreon and send us your best.
Show me what you got.
What has it got in its packets?
Now that that's out of the way, though, I can tell you that, like I said, I am stupid excited about tonight. So we're going to launch a new series. Is that what you were going for?
Yeah, I was literally about to announce the series first.
Announce the series. It's a new series from the Black Tower Podcast.
The definition of my hands right now. Good God, that's bad.
We have not totally gotten to the end of the previous series. There are still certain ones that we haven't necessarily talked about in depth.
It's like a branch of.
You want more.
We have done many, many deep dives into characters in the Wheel of Time. But you know what the problem with that has been? All of them have been characters that are just big and bad and to hang out the whole
story. Oh, I'm a main character. I get my own episode on the Black Tower Podcast.
Sometimes I get five where we describe all of my bots. Like, seriously. But
how Elaine single-handedly caused the greatest water drought in Camelin.
There has not been enough talk of other characters. So Josh, what are we talking? What is the subject of this series? And then what is the subject of this episode?
We've got, so the series is called
how many B's and C's are in that?
Background breakdown.
Background breakdown.
That do would be the name.
We decided that there were people in the Wheel of Time that are so ridiculously awesome, but nobody ever talks about them. Nobody.
Almond Bunt.
They're just like
Almond Bunt.
Almond Bunt. We're just like, you know, we're just like, why don't people talk about, because as we know, as anybody who's been in theater knows, that your background and tertiary characters will make or break your performance. Because if you've got the lead actor up there doing their thing, like, I am so amazing, everything is awesome, but nobody's backing them up, nobody's really selling it. I'm getting invaded by the Crystal Barista.
What? Crystal Barista invasion.
What was that?
It was a crystal. Did you see her head? She popped in there for a second.
She did. It happened. I was there.
Say hi to everybody. There's a Crystal Barista right there.
Hello!
And plug.
Crystalbarista.com. We are hosting another amazing event down in Moab in June.
Oh,
it is going to be amazing.
Hopefully you'll sell out as well. But yeah, so we determined that we would give credit where credit is due to all of those amazeballs background characters that the main characters need the support of. I don't
know, something about the other time. It's not important.
The main actor can be up there and be like, la 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 la, I'm so awesome. But if the background and tertiary characters are not there to sell it.
Who would Freddie Mercury be without the musicians that actually play?
Without
the
Brian
music
May and like voice? Just like where? I mean,
I'm
don't
sorry,
get me
did
wrong.
You just suggest that the other members of Queen are background characters? Because you'd be right.
You see, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I'm pretty sure that we're going to have that exact same statement about a lot of these. Look, we're calling it background breakdown, and we're identifying these characters as more background characters because they're not as, their roles, and when we see them at all, it's not as big and in your face as the main characters. Right. Though a lot of them play very significant roles, they're not a part of the main cast. I mean, they are by role in what they do, considered secondary and tertiary characters. So background breakdown, because a lot of times the background dancers steal the entire fucking show and then they get fired.
Left shark.
Well, and not only that, but the background characters, specifically in this particular case, we want to focus on characters who the main characters that we commonly refer to would not have been able to fulfill their story ending without the support and or aid of these characters. Well, these are basically characters that just don't get enough love.
this very much goes hand in hand with like other things that we've said about actual main characters. I mean, if you have to give this story sort of a single character that it's about, the answer is Rand. From start to finish, the Dragon Reborn is the one that the story is about. But that doesn't mean that nobody helps him. That doesn't mean that all of the other main characters don't do a bitch ton of stuff to go ahead and actually make the, you know, the light's victory possible in the end. If you don't have Matt leading the forces of the light at the last battle, Rand can't get where he needs to go. If you don't have Rand doing what he does, it doesn't matter that Matt's fighting the last battle.
If Perrin's not there to protect Rand, exactly. I mean, there's just a lot
there's
that
just
goes
so
into it.
So many layers of different things, and that's what we want to talk about with these characters. The ones who we absolutely, you know, they aren't, as Andrew said, main cast. That doesn't mean that their accomplishments are small. As Josh said, none of the main characters, or at least a certain number of main characters, wouldn't have gotten nearly as far and gotten into the places where they can help the main characters had it not been for the support that they got along the way. And we want to pay tribute to those support characters.
Exactly.
Hello, everyone. Everyone loves merchandise. Whatever it's about, it's people love to get it for whatever reason, for holidays, for birthdays, for Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa presents, whatever kind of thing. Why not give you another place to where you can go and get some awesome merch? Popular for all kinds of different reasons, this is New Creations by Jen. It's an amazing shop where you can find all sorts of Wheel of Time inspired merch. It's also the only place where you can go and join the Frosty Mug Society. To give an example, our own Black Tower podcast, Frosty Mug, is a part of the Frosty Mug Society. Now, there are a total of 6, as of the time that I'm talking now, Frosty Mugs in the Frosty Mug Society on New Creations by Jen. And those span several different content creators from the Wheel of Time content creator community. You can go and get the Black Tower Podcast one, Malkier Talks, Talk Around Riyadh, The Will Reads, The Will Weaves, and of course, Weekly Will News. All 6 of those content creators, again, including us, have Frosty mugs, and they all look super dope. Jen does an amazing job. So make sure you go and get one and join the Frosty Mug Society. Beyond the mugs, there are the Frosty mugs. There are regular mugs that you can get. There are t-shirts that you can get with all kinds of different designs on them that are inspired or by the content creator platform suggestions they've sent in, or just overall Wheel of Time inspired items. You can find menswear, ladieswear, unisex wear, hats, all kinds of really dope stuff. Now, if you don't want to just get content creator based stuff and you want more just Wheel of Time inspired stuff, make sure you check out Weekly Will News's section of New Creations by Jen. And that's where you can find all things from Gator Shufas to Outdoor Forms tees to dice cups and die to coasters to just everything that we have seen Rob with Weekly Will News put out over forever. And you can find it here under the Weekly Well News on New Creations by Jen. This is an epic site that is only overshadowed by how epic the items and the owners are. Again, Rob and Jen put in a ton of work. They work really well together and really well with the creators that want to be a part of this. So it's fantastic. So make sure you head on over to newcreationsbyjen.com and get yourself your very own Black Tower Podcast Frosty mug. And while you're there, make sure you pick up anything from the vast assortment of Wheel of Time inspired merchandise.
And as it was just mentioned in our live chat, which you can participate in if you're one of our patrons, tonight's subject is on Mr. Talmanes.
What?
The ultimate tamale.
Talmanes de la Vinde. Guys, Talmanes, also known as Talmanes or Talmanes. I don't know. There's lots of pronunciations as tall we mans. Tall mayonnaise. But no, tall mayonnaise is, oh God. When you first meet him, he's just like a smart commanding officer type guy.
Well, I mean, he's awesome. Course he's smart. He's the first time that. We see him is in the best book. So,
wow. Well,
actually, I think in the first time we ever see him, he's not unsmart. Don't get me wrong, but he is about to get himself killed. And true. Matt goes, "Hey, please don't do that. I really don't want to be here. And if you get yourself killed, then no, I'm."
And this is part of why this is part of his brilliance, though. He is a young guy. Okay, first off, he is young. He's only a couple years older than Matt. So he
don't
and Matt,
you wrong. You're a young man of great renown.
But so when he gives the map to because Matt's like, okay, I'm getting out of here, and I know we're mm-hmm. surrounded by different Aiel, and mm-hmm. I want out. I want to leave. And he says, "Who has a map?" And Talmanes is like, "Bro, I got a map right here. Here you go." And I think at this point in time, they were acquaintances.
They played cards together. So
yeah they played cards together. They were acquaintances. And they were Matt friends, gets serious.
But they were chummy. They were chummy.
Yeah.
There we go.
They were chummy. And Matt gets serious about, you know, saving his own hide. Let's just call mm-hmm. it like it is. When it comes to saving his hide, Matt is like, okay, no, I'm out of here. So when he starts looking at the map that Talmanes has of where are the Aiel, where are we? Talmanes looks at him and goes, oh, damn. This kid knows what he's talking about. And it's at that moment in time, he kind of goes like, he's kind of like dibs on the new BFF. This is my friend. We're hanging out with him. And Matt, I don't know if it's, I want to say it's a combination of Matt's Taviran pull and Talmanes sort of, he's intelligent and he's also got a good gut. He's got good instincts. And so he says, there's glory in Clay, following this man.
I think he was pretty skinny. I don't think he has a very solid gut.
No, but he looks at it and he says, if Kel I Vanden follow,
has a solid gut.
Well, there's, yeah. We haven't got to him yet, though.
Sure. I don't know how the fuck he was a horse thief. God, he's so fat.
Plot twist. He isn't actually a horse thief. He's got someone else doing it for him.
What?
That's for a different episode, though. No. Wait, is
Kel Vanden a Forsaken? Does he just compulse other people's horses? Anyway, continue.
But Talmanes, he sees Matt. He says, look, there's going to be tremendous glory following this kid. And, well, or this guy, because I don't know if he'd say this kid because, you know, they were so close in age. But he's like, no, this guy's got tremendous glory. And it's not like
a freaking lucky guy.
Talmanes was inexperienced, right? He was, what was he? Hold on, I've got it right here.
All right. So
he was a commander of one of the carrion and cavalry units, mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, like, he's got moxie, right? He knows what he's doing. He's experienced. He's from carrion.
I thought there was more.
No, there is more. There's lots more, but I realized I was talking a lot, so I thought I'd let someone else jump in.
No, dude, you're fine.
I can keep going, though. You guys, mm-hmm. So he is from carrion. He did the whole front of the head shaved with the powder thing. And I love Matt's description.
It's a very comfortable haircut.
As Andrew knows.
Andrew would know.
You get a little warm, you just throw a little more powder on there and bam.
That's especially right.
If it's
that's
like it, gold right blonde, there. All purpose. Right, just
slap it right there.
Yeah, fucking just slap yourself blonde. Right in the forehead.
Breathe
it in. This like, definitely doesn't have carcinogens in there.
I like Matt's observation when he first meets him, and he says that he looks like a coiled whip or a spring, mm-hmm. just ready to fucking go.
Ready.
And it's super good.
Not like Matt, Wyrmon. Wyrmon's a piece of shit. Oh God,
Wyrmon's an idiot.
Where you going? Nowhere.
Nowhere. And Wyrmon, yeah, maybe we do an episode about him, but you know what?
No,
he gets all the
guy.
Love he ever
Fuck
deserves.
That
which is
guy.
Not. not that much.
It'll be a Twitter only episode. We'll do 5 minutes of us just going charge.
Right. So Tomon is in as early as
charge.
As early as, you know, this first encounter, like I said, Matt impresses on Talmanes and he says, nope, I'm following this guy. This guy and me, we're going to be great friends. We're going to go everywhere together. And they end up like forming just a group of people. And Matt is doing the whole, I'm trying to avoid Aiel. And Talmanes is like, we're going to kill some Aiel. And of course, in Matt's attempt to avoid conflict, he ends up finding himself right in the middle of it. And the cool thing is because you've got Matt's Taverian luck, Matt's strategic knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say strategic knowledge, but we do have a spoiler warning. So Matt's
many memories.
Yeah.
And Talmane's experience and salt as a soldier, they make a really great team, like almost instantly. And so Matt says, okay, here's what we're going to do. Blah, 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 blah. And Talmanes like, cool, done, boom. And they start doing it. And Talmanes executes those orders exactly. And as a result,
actually one of the things that I actually love about that particular scene is that Matt is doing everything he can think of to avoid getting into skirmishes with the Aiel. However, I definitely think that the battle would not have gone nearly as well had Matt not gotten into as many skirmishes as he did. And so part of me absolutely, including a skirmish in which something very important happens, also known as the leader of the opposition is murdered.
You know, that's probably like one of the biggest. Opinion,
I actually definitely think that Talmanes and a number of other people, probably not just him, but Carrionin, who really don't like Aiel very much.
What?
Are kind of like, no, we're totally going to listen to your orders, Matt, but we're also going to get ourselves into skirmishes with the Shido, and so...
We're also going to kill some Aiels.
We shot ourselves a Shido, or maybe 203.
I love it.
Well, that's kind of what sets him aside, though, is mixed in with this group, there's some Tarianans as well. And a lot of them are like, we're better than the Carrion soldiers. So they're like, we don't have to follow this. We'll do whatever we want. And they step out of the pike formation and almost immediately die every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So...
I think one of the things that sets Talmanes apart from the rest of it is, as you said, he definitely wants to get him some Aiel scalps. Like, he's all for it. He's about that life. But he knows that what Matt is about is somehow bigger. And so he is able to restrain himself. But at times, you're right. He's almost like, I know shit's going to hit the fan when I'm around this guy. And I like it because he knows what he's doing. And if there's the best tool in a soldier's, you know, repertoire is intelligence and to be smart. So, because if I'm with him, yeah, we're going to be in a lot of battles, but I'm going to live through them.
Yep. Baby, I like it. The way you move on the field.
So he, baby, I like he it. Actually competes.
The way you kill the Aiel.
He actually competes. And almost gets into a fist fight over who gets to be Matt's security
second escort. In command, basically.
Second in command, yeah. And I'm glad that he wins. He wins that contest over Nalesian.
If anybody was confused about what this whole battle was, it was the effort to it was the siege of Carrion,
yes,
where the Shido Aiel had
the Shido taken, siege of Carrion, yeah.
No, like the Shido had already taken it, so they were laying siege to it to remove it from Shido control, I think.
Oh, no, you're right,
I could have that backwards.
You're right, they were coming out of the Aiel waste, the Shido were ahead of them. The Shido had captured.
First of all, they had been chasing the Shido, I think, right?
The Shido are sieging Carrion. They hadn't actually taken it because everybody in the city is pretty much fine, but the Aiel are sieging it, and then Rand's army comes from behind them.
Oh, right. They siege the siege.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. So that's why it's kind of confusing.
There's only one thing more dangerous than being a city under siege. Being the siegers caught in between the city and another army.
Well, when you think about it, where can you run?
Like that is like the most dangerous situation. Like you're
for hammer and anvil techniques.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is one of the reasons that Rand actually builds the observation post, for example, instead of just using one that was a tower in Carrion, because they show up behind the sieging army and go, okay, well, we also need some fortifications, because if they turn around and start attacking us, we would really like to not get murdered.
Right. Talmanis does another thing fairly early on that I think is significant, because they capture Carrion, and you know, Talmanis is like, Matt, I'm yours, buddy. I'm gonna follow you. I commit my loyalty to you, and we're gonna do this. And Matt's like, oh god, don't call me a bloody lord, I'm not a bloody lord. Which I did the British accent because Barney Harris is British. Oh yeah. I distracted myself.
None of the rest of us knew it. Congratulations. You played yourself.
I did play myself. Oh, that's what I was going to say. So Matt's like not 100% in love with this guy following him, but at the same time, he's like, you know what? Someone, a soldier, actual soldier, making sure that I don't get full of holes might not be a bad idea. So sure, buddy, we can ride together. And he kind of has a, I don't know, sort of a like a temporary attitude. Like, yeah, you can ride with me until we're safe somewhere, and then I'm gonna leave your ass and I'm gonna go bury myself in a tavern somewhere. But sure, for now, cool. Yeah, absolutely.
As soon as I find a plump barmaid to replace you with, you're done.
Right? I just want a nice pint and maybe a tickle and a kiss.
I want to go to the Winchester until this all blows over.
Matt also realizes that he can now take this experienced military man and this army that Matt has unwillingly amassed. He can pawn all the maintenance off on this guy. So I can go and drink and gamble and make all the money that the band will ever need. He can do all the shit I don't want to do.
And
the Talmanis is like, this is a great honor. And Matt's like, son of a fucking bitch again.
Do you know what else I love about it too? Is like, there's times in which Matt's like, all right, I'm going to go into the tavern. I'll see you guys later. And Talmanis is like, okay, cool. What do you want us to do? And he says, you know, set up camp, get some horse lines and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, cool. Talmanis turns around. You heard the man. All right. Where are we going, Matt? You know, and they're riding into the city together. And he's like, no. I'm going. And Talmanis is like, yeah, you're going, and I'm going with you. So where are we going?
No, I'm going to Mordor alone. Of course you are, Mr. Frodo. And I'm coming with you.
You're not going to that hell alone.
For a while, like, Matt is definitely looking at Talmanis like he's a bad case of the hemorrhoids. You can try whatever you want, but it just won't go away.
Every time he sits down, it annoys him.
And we also like to joke about Matt being like, oh, every man should have a bit of lace. Not too much, mind you, but a bit. To be presentable, to present a fine leg to the ladies.
Yeah, oh, yes.
You're supposed to wear your lace where people can see it?
And then,
let me go change real quick, Andrew, guys.
Andrew, you're supposed to wear your lace where someone's going to see it. Not necessarily everyone. But you don't wear lace unless someone else is.
Wear your lace where I saw it last weekend, big boy.
There you go.
Got it.
But I love how, so Matt originally looks at Talmanis and says, this guy dresses very, very conservatively. He doesn't wear a lot of flash. He doesn't wear a lot of flair. He doesn't wear a lot of jewelry. And as we know from Matt, later on in the series, he has a respect for that.
From Lat Mater
on. Lat Mater on.
It's not Lat, It's Lot.
Oh, that's right. But you know, as we know later on from Matt, that he respects that simplicity of mm-hmm. you know, but he also doesn't stop him from giving Tamani shit for dressing plainly. Mm-hmm. And being like, dude, you have no fashion sense whatsoever. Like, can't you get a little bit of lace? Just a little
Which
bit.
Which is funny, because then Talmanis comes back right back and he's like, what the fuck are you talking about my clothes, you lace clad fuck?
And they I would say,
were you dressing to impress, you dumb Maluk? Come on.
I would say arguably
thought you were
of, if not the best bromance in the series. Anyone?
Well, and especially when fucking Ulver shows up and Talmanis and Matt are just running around as his dads. Like, it's fucking
my two
great.
Dads.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure if you go
shit.
On to the
oh shit. Oh shit. Dude, now I want I just want 2.5 men.
Oh my god.
Matt is Charlie Sheen.
Yes!
And then Talmanis is the straight-laced dad. And then just Ulver is the just chubby, unattractive, like, what sex? And Charlie Sheen's like, I'll tell you later.
Alcohol is poison. Then why do you drink it? Shit. There are things inside of me I need to kill.
Dude. Oh, God. But yeah, no, honestly, I would agree with your statement that it is one of the greatest bromances. And especially because, again, when it comes right down to it, it is that adorable like relationship in some ways where this does not always work and it's not always nice, but where one of them is just so persistent.
Right.
That the other person is like, I never even realized how much I loved you until you were just there all the time. Like,
right though? You know, and that's an interesting point to bring up too, because I feel like, you know, as we kind of hit on before, Talmanis thinks it's like, you know, he sees greatness in Matt right off the bat. It considers it an honor and competes, literally fights to be Matt's second in command. Yep. Because he knows the greatness that's going to be happening. And
I'd like to say this directly to Lord Matt. Ah, didn't realize mutiny was on the menu today.
And so like it for Talmanis to see that, recognize that, and then to immediately attach himself to it, he thinks he's doing what a good vassal should be doing. And he is, like,
he is
absolutely 100%.
Not in Matt's opinion, but
not
we
in Matt's
all
opinion
that he's right.
And so Talmanis teams up with Matt and they start going around being generally badass. And it's absolutely amazing. And I can't remember when specifically that they adopt the name, the Band of the Red Hand, but I believe.
I think it's after a couple of cups of calf.
Yeah. Well, because that was a thing, right? Talmanis is basically, not only is Talmanis sort of a vassal or a servant, but he's also a mentor to Matt. And he's saying, look, Matt, these are the things you need to do. You need to accept responsibility. Now, Matt knows in his brain, with all his lifetimes and generals and military memories, he knows in his brain that these are the things that he needs to do. But Talmanis is his mentor, his conscience, helping him apply that raw data into a practical use and saying, we need an identity. If you want us to
have a future.
Do
you know the parallel for the Band of the Red Hand? Do you?
No.
Band of the Blue
Foot. I'll give you a hint.
Is it the Hand Clan or the Foot Clan?
No. No. It is an Irish legend.
Oh.
I am unfamiliar with that one. What is it?
So bring the real life into this.
Yeah, it's the Red Branch, which was both the name of the ruling house of Ulster and its warrior band. And it contained the greatest Irish heroes. And the symbol for Ulster was a red hand.
Oh, I love that.
I like it too.
Yes, I need that link. You need to send that to me because I want to read all about them now. They're going to be my new best heroes. But no, so Talmanes is
yeah.
Go ahead.
I agree with you because when it comes right down to it, Matt has so much knowledge and so much whatever, but he says no to it and keeps on saying no to it and keeps on saying no to it and keeps on saying no to it. Basically until Talmanes is like, no, dude. Again, he is the with great power comes great responsibility guy. Because he's like, you can do this. You can do so many amazing things. Why are you not doing them? Like, just do them with these people who are chomping at the goddamn bit to follow you, you not Lord Lacey motherfucker. Like,
I mean, I think a lot of it is the band naming themselves like out of their respect for Matt. Because they figure out where he's from. They figure out that it used to be Manethrin. And they're like, what other legendary things do we know of Manethrin? Oh, yeah, that's right. The Band of the Red Hand.
Yeah.
The legendary army faction of Manethrin are part of it. And the last group that is said to have stood against the Trollocs before Manethrin fell. And I think a lot of it, I mean, there's Robert Jordan, I mean, don't get me wrong, he had a definite leg up on doing it, having been military himself. But there's something so military about your troops loving you and respecting you so much that they name themselves out of something that essentially indicates that if you are about to die, we will be the ones that stand in front of you and die protecting you.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It's so it's beautiful. True. It's so beautiful.
It is.
And so
you're making a little bit of a joke, but like it is fucking beautiful.
I mean, it actually is. It's
really, really
cool.
Is.
I actually do really love it.
When Talmanes, you get kicked off your post and you leave your carrier and people like literally everybody you've ever had the or who has ever had the privilege to work under you is standing there clapping. Yeah, that's pretty fucking powerful.
That's significant. I've just in military experience, I've been to change of command ceremonies where everybody was like, meh, whatever. It's cool. Whatever. I've been to change of command ceremonies where everybody was like, good riddance.
Mm-hmm.
I've only ever been to
most of
one. I've only ever been to one change of command ceremony. Change of command. You guys would like
to say to the leading base commander, get the fuck out of here.
I've only ever been to one where everybody was like,
don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Very, very sad to see them go.
Don't let the door hit you with a good Lord split you.
The difference is absolutely amazing. And let's be real, most of this loyalty comes from Talmanes. Most of the loyalty is to Matt.
Sure.
But it comes from Talmanes, who is an outstanding leader and who is able to lead the band and say, look, Matt's lucky. We stick with him. We'll get glory and we won't die. And everybody's like, hell yeah, let's do this.
He's a guy like the members of the band are sitting around being like, oh, he's so young. There's no way he knows what he's doing. There's no way he's this good. And Talmanes is just sitting there in the freaking shadows. Somebody finally notices him and he walks. He's like, let me tell you a fucking story. So there I was in command of 800 horsemen. And he just strolls up and takes control of half. He caught me with the barbecue sauce open.
We got you with the barbecue sauce. Got him with the sauce.
Got him with the sauce.
Anyway, sorry.
It really should be something they do in the TV show to address like how somebody's so young. Like there's gonna be people that intrinsically don't
barbecue sauce.
Yeah. There's gonna be people that don't want to follow him just because like Matt is so young in comparison to so many of the military leaders are used to being under and seeing. So there really needs to be that scene with Talmanes where they're all sitting there talking shit. Like, I bet all of his stories are made up, and Talmanes is just like,
no.
Continue so that I can tell you the million and one ways where you're wrong.
Right. I love that Talmanes is in so many ways is. He does start out just like everybody else when it comes right down to it. I'm not saying he doesn't. He is very much a Carrion and Lord. He is very much the peasantry is a different class. It is a different people. They aren't actually worth our time. The nobles are who keeps the country safe. The nobles are who keeps the country fed. I am a noble. I am therefore better than a lot of other people. And then we have the scene. It literally is the scene from the Avengers where Matt shows up.
Yes.
With Talmanes and Nalasian and one other person who I do not remember their name because they die in the battle anyway. So it doesn't actually matter, but they are mentioned.
So they weren't important anyway.
Basically, he shows up and he goes, "Where are your scouts?" And they go, "What scouts? It's a battle. Like, this is war. You don't send scouts out in war." And Matt goes, "You always send scouts out, you dumb motherfuckers. Where are they? There is a set of Shido over that ridge, and you are literally about
yes.
to run." And both Talmanes and Nalasian both go, "Who the fuck are you to tell us that we shouldn't go over that ridge and take out the Shido?" At which five Shido show up, Matt takes them all out, and and Talmanes looks at everybody else and goes, "All right, so we need scouts over that ridge."
That's exactly how it happened.
It is. And then, of course, again, we're talking about that police officer following Captain America now for the rest of time.
Basically. And
literally every time anybody in the band goes, "Man, why aren't you in charge? Like, this is so stupid that Matt is the leader of the band." Talmanes goes,
"Huh, oh, no.
Let me tell you a story."
Yeah.
So there we were. We're in New York, and there are aliens all over.
Right? It's about the same story.
It really is.
I think there are a few moments where Talmanes really nails in his like supreme badassery. Mm-hmm. One is when he recognizes immediately, just like you relate, he recognizes immediately greatness in Matt. He says, not only can this kid swing a pole arm, but he knows how to stay alive. He can read a battle as it's happening, and that's a rare talent. Uh-huh. Like he sees that in Matt immediately. The second one is when Matt has to leave the band. I believe it's when he travels with Elaine, Tuon, and Nynaeve with Val and Luca as they are escaping the city. And then he meets up
with Talmanes later. That's not the first time, but that is another time. The first time is when he goes to Saladar to pick up Egwene. And starts actually traveling with Egwene.
Yeah, he goes down to Ebudar with them.
Down there, and Talmanes is the other time that's important is when they actually go to travel to siege the White Tower when the Saladarians leave.
Hold on.
Talmanes and the Red Hand, the band of the Red Hand, are actually basically paralleling their position all the way down.
Right.
And I think that one's the more important one because, again, the person who's keeping the band of the Red Hand together isn't Matt anymore. He's traveling with the girls. He's hanging out with them. He's going with them to do everything. And he even says, "Talmanes, you're in charge, and you're in charge until I get back," which could be who the fuck knows.
Well, and Talmanes, Matt, I think it's suggested that Matt fully expects to come back to find the band completely dispersed.
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't have to worry about him anymore. And he thinks
that's
his ticket out. He's like, "Oh, sorry, guys. I got this thing I got to do. And, you know, it's been great. Talmanes, you're in charge. Have a great time. Thanks for coming out. I'll see you later."
Thanks for coming out.
He goes off to Ebudar on another grand adventure. Talmanes is like, "Cool. All
right, cool.
We'll see you when you get back." And when Matt comes back,
they see him.
Matt's like, "Oh, Talmanes, you're still around." And Talmanes is like, "Yeah, the band has been doing pretty good. You know, hey, welcome back. Where should we go fight?" and then Matt's like, "What are you talking about?" Like, and he like, you know, gets a drink, and then Talmanes is like, "Oh, you know, it's just good. You know, couple thousand men more than when you left. And Matt's like, what? Talmanes, this entire time has been.
Oh, I want to see Matt, instead of spitting out his own drink, swallow, hand it to Talmanes, make him take a swallow, and then slap him in the face so he spits it out. So he's like, I would not waste ale, but.
No, but, and then Matt comes back to the band to find that not only are they more, but they're better organized, they're better funded, they're better equipped, and Talmanes just hands it right back to Matt and says, yeah, I've been maintaining things for you. And Matt even asks him, like, what the hell is happening? Like, how are you able to recruit this much so fast? And Talmanes says, look, there's no work for people. So you tell them, come be a soldier in the Band of the Red Hand.
The notoriety's already there.
People will join. We got all the soldiers we could ever want. We could win any war now.
And I will throw out
if
there.
If Matt leads it, they will come.
I like it. I will throw out there. There is another reason there, because people are already very much feeling in the wind that there is a fight coming. Saladar is recruiting for fighters. Saladar is recruiting for warriors, and things along that line. And so it's not just people coming out of nowhere to join the Band of the Red Hand. There is like this sort of like vacuum that's pulling everybody towards the area.
He's sending out recruiting parties.
But that is, as I said, I'm not trying to take credit away from Talmanes. Matt shows up and the Band of the Red Hand is way bigger than it should be based on just people showing up, you know, near Saladar and seeing, oh, there's that army or that army. I guess maybe I'll choose that one. No, Talmanes is working very hard to be like, no, you want to be with us. Our guy has plot armor. What the fuck?
Come fight, follow a Taviran.
Right? Basically. You can do it.
And I think that speaks volumes about Talmanes' loyalty, about his intelligence, about how smart he is, which leads into the next sort of like just supreme badass. Keeping in mind that, yes, the Band of the Red Hand was founded by Matt.
It was founded by Talmanes.
Let's be real here.
Off of the amazing deeds of Matt, but it was founded by Talmanes.
And Talmanes is such a good, he's so smart. And remember, he's Carianan, so he knows how to play Dias Damar. He knows how to bring people into his military. Oh, I'm sorry. Matt's army, Matt's private army. But Talmanes has this loyalty streak in him where he does use Matt's name to bring people in. Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
When he brokers a deal with King Roadron to keep, you know, everybody safe down there, he's like, oh yeah. Oh, by the way, did I mention that we're met by Lord Matt Cawthon, the Taviran of this age? Yeah, you want us, baby. And Roadron's like, here, have some money. You know, I mean, like Talmanes, the Band of the Red Hand was founded by Talmanes.
That would hurt with gold marks.
It would. Don't do that with gold marks. Especially when I'm naked. I don't want gold marks bouncing off my titties.
Liar.
Think for yourself.
But I think the other portion of what makes Talmanes such a badass, and we could do an entire episode on this, is Talmanes' performance in the last battle. Good.
Yes.
Creator above. Talmanes proves himself again and again and again to be not only a resilient bastard, but a smart bastard, a strong bastard, and someone who will not give up, which I'm using that again because I know it's synonymous with resilient. But I need to drive home. So he's in Andor.
Yep.
They get the surprise attack, the attack they should have known about. God damn it, Matt. They get the surprise attack. Talmanes organizes his forces. And, oh, by the way, the band is now in charge of the cannons.
The Durgans?
The dragons.
The Durgans!
Oh, my God. This is such... Okay, I'm sorry. I have to stop. I have to say this out loud because Snakes and Foxes in our live chat has just said this, and it is such a perfect summation of what Talmanes does. And I quote, Talmanes literally black knights it in the last battle, only better. And I know that statement is meant to be hilarious, and it is hilarious. And I'm laughing in my heart. But it's perfect. It's a perfect description of Talmanes' performance in the last battle. Because he's in Andor. He recognizes immediately that Trolloc swarming in through the ways, if they get a hold of the dragons, we're
already lost. Yeah.
So he gets a hold of the dragons. He puts them in a warehouse. He hunkers down. He's like, okay, we got to make sure that, and he's been learning from Matt this whole time. So he's using Matt style tactics against the Shadowspawn. God, words. He's using Matt style tactics against the Shadowspawn, keeping them off their ass, and eventually is able to retreat out of Andor with the dragons.
Yep.
Series of events, fighting, blah, 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 and leads to my favorite two moments from Talmanes. I'll be done with this list after these two. I could go on forever, but these are the two that I have to highlight. One, Talmanes gets nicked by a Murdral blade, which is death, is certain death. And he goes, so I'm dead? And they're like, well, I mean, without an Aes Sedai here to heal you, yeah, you're kind of dead. And he's like, cool, let's fuck some Shadowspawn. And he does. He goes straight in. He's like, no, I'm serious. I wanted to take as many of them with me as possible.
If I already have the disease, I want to put myself as far down a Shadowspawn as I can possibly get.
And that's what he does. And with a viciousness and with a... oh, with an absolute savagery, he goes after Shadowspawn, taking them out again and again. And I, even in my rereads where I know that he survives, I'm crying because I'm like, Talmanes, no!
Talmanes!
Because he's so amazing about it. And he gets nicked by Murdral like three more times. And he's still like, okay, we've got some Aes Sedai. Oh, we got some Ashtamon. Cool. Can you guys heal me? And they're like, no. And he's like,
they're like,
can you do anything? And they're like,
so we did take that step back that I was hoping we would.
Oh, yes. And then one of the Ashtamon is like, okay, look, I've got a weave. It's not a cure, but it'll make you think you're cured. And Talmanes is like, dude, I'm dead anyway. And I need to kill as many of these motherfuckers as I can before I go. So give it to me. Gimme. And the dude's like, cool. Beep. Puts the weave on. So Talmanes is like, sweet.
So this is PCP. You're not actually going to be better in any way, shape, or form. But you're going to feel a lot better.
So he rises up. He starts blasting Shadowspawn. Exactly. This whole time, I'm like, my face is like, you know, getting that hot, warm flash before you start to cry. And this is my face reading about the Talmanes chapters because I love it so much. And then, of course, we know, you know, he survives that battle and he's eventually healed. And then they're like, can you fight still? Are you good? Can you fight? And he's like, yeah, I'm not done killing Shadowspawn.
Can you walk? You're alive. If you want, I can fly.
Again, bromance. And then Talmanes does one of the coolest fucking things I've ever seen in my life. Something I never would have dreamt in my wildest years.
You know what I forgot about?
What did you forget about?
The creation and a subsequent revealing by Talmanes of the dragon teeth. Do you remember what those are?
I do not.
So We already knew about the dragons themselves as far as cannons go.
Yeah.
Well, it's just they release bits of metal everywhere when ignited. Shh, fucking frag grenades. Massive proportions.
He's shooting frag grenades out of cannons.
This is like the world's slowest Mark 19, but
dude,
but it's a Mark 19 in an era where a Mark 19 is unthinkable.
It's like it's a bolt action Mark 19. It's
still effective as hell.
Oh yeah.
So he gets the dragons out. He survives the battle. He goes to the fields of Marilor, where they're like, okay, we're ready to fight, right? And they're like, yeah, we're going to fight.
That's where he's healed.
Right. So,
and then, yeah, ultimately, yeah, then it's time to fight.
They want him to keep fighting. They're like, dude, you're the only one who knows really how to handle these dragons. And Matt, he got himself into some fuckery. So it's on you now. And he's like, cool, let's do this. I'm ready. Let's go. And
come on, Crouch Tiger, don't you hide that dragon.
I do not believe for a second that Talmanes... Now, don't get me wrong. Talmanes is extremely loyal. He would never actually betray Matt. But I don't believe for a second that he didn't Dias Damar the shit out of the Band of the Red Hand and be like, yay, we're all following Matt. So do what I tell you, because it's what Matt would tell you to do. And Talmanes is smart enough...
Matt is 100% fine with that as well. It's not even necessarily that he's doing that much Dias Damar. It's like you're trying to play a game against someone who wants you to play that game.
To be fair, exactly. Matt's name has been used in a lot worse ways far prior to this.
For real.
Accurate.
It's like, at least for once, somebody's using my name to do something positive other than get my ass beat by mom and dad.
So, Talmanes is Matt. Now has the Band of the Red Hand with the dragon crews. They've been training. They're trained soldiers. They're hardened soldiers. They know what they're doing with the dragons. And they say, okay, we're going to point those dragons
at Shadowspawn. And we know how to handle the dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We can handle the dragons, yeah.
Wait, are Elaine, Avienda, and Min on that? Because they definitely know
how they to. They also know how to handle the dragon, though.
Secret art. Dragon riding technique.
And I think Talmanes does something that I think is like ridiculously bold, insanely courageous,
and also super stupid.
Andral.
It's funny how often the lines blur right there.
Oh yeah.
Comes up to him and says, you know, so these dragons.
Hold on just a second. Cause that is one of my favorite quotes, which is, stupidity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Bravery is doing the same thing over and over until you get different results. And that's where most of life's problems lay.
I'm not stupid. I just haven't proved my bravery yet.
Right? I love it. So Andral approaches these guys and says, hey, and I'm summing up, right? Because it's
battle,
and there's a lot happening right now.
I will explain. No, it's too much to explain.
There is too much. Let me sum up.
It's like a no-go.
Andral approaches these guys, says, you know,
I know you guys don't get, so never mind.
Andral says, these dragons are very loud, and they're very slow. You will have maybe one, maybe two volleys before you're swarming with Shadowspawn. I've got an idea. How crazy are you feeling today? And of course, as we all know, the Ashaman are touched by the taint, so all of them are a little crazy. And I can just see Andral being like, so how crazy are you feeling today? Like, because I got an idea. You went.
And Talmanes looks at him and goes, Andral, I followed Matt for the last time.
They're just a group.
Off his drink. Slams it on the table and goes, what the fuck do you have in mind?
The Ashaman are the crazy group at school that often huddles in the corners, and everybody else sees them huddle and they just go, oh no.
I love that comparison, though.
All I can think about now with what they do is like all the advertisements for like 3M hearing protection. I'm just like, also, you've seen the movie Black Hawk Down, right?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember the part where like the guy is like sitting there and they're like laying down like just freaking cyclic machine gun fire.
Uh-huh.
And he like keeps shouting at him, stop firing it so close to my head, you're gonna bust my eardrums. And then he tries to talk to him later and he's just like, what?
What?
Load the next volley. What?
I love so Andral approached, and I love that comparison, right? Andral's like, hey, I got a crazy idea. You down for some crazy? And Talmani's like, dude, I followed Matt. Like, if you're crazy is anything like what Matt's crazy is, then I'm in. Like, head first, diving in. Let's do this.
Your I'll crazy kill matches Spawn? My crazy big time.
Andral's right? like, oh yeah, you'll kill Shadow Spawn. And Talmani's like, why aren't we already doing it?
And probably not yourselves.
So Andral says, I've got this cave. It's in a mountain that nobody can access because nobody else knows where it is because there are no openings to this cave.
Which begs the question, how Andral the fuck did he find it?
Accident.
Like,
fucking no.
I get that you got Internet. Your boo thing now, but are you seriously Internet. Looking that hard for like very...
He Googled it. Caves with no entrance. Oh, sweet.
No, Andral,
it's got
Andral,
5 stars on Dragon Review.
I feel like he was
TripAdvisor gave it 2 stars.
No, I feel like Andral was absolutely...
within walking distance of the fields of Marilar.
I honestly feel like Andral one day was just fucking with his gateways and just like... was doing like, okay, cool. What happens if I hop 50 feet in this direction? Hop.
Yeah.
All right, cool. What happens if I hop 50 feet in this direction? Hop. What if I hop to the top of that mountain?
Yes.
Oh, fuck. I misjudged the top of that mountain. I'm really glad this cave is here.
No, and Andral does say that in the battle at the Black Tower. He goes, I've been experimenting with gateways. Yeah. I think I got some pretty cool shit, if that's cool with you. Proceeds to unleash a lava flow. Good lord.
Yeah.
So anyway, literally we're just not trying to Google how
that's
Andral,
a different thing.
Listen to this. I tried to search how does Andral find the cave and it autocorrected to Anadrol and now I'm on WebMD. Anadrol 50 oral.
Andrew, you do not have cancer. Yet.
I was distracted by the word oral, if I'm being perfectly frank.
So Talmanis is like, let's do this. Andral takes him to a cave with no openings, leaves a couple, I think they're fully vetted Ashaman. Leaves a couple of male channelers there and says, we're going to open up gateways. You shoot those amazing, beautiful things through the gateways and then close the gateway. And you guys will be safe in this cave. No one can touch you. And so for the rest of the battle, Talmanes is in this cave, opening a gateway to it, the middle of the Trolloc lines and going, hey, bitches, kaboom, closing the gateway. And then he's got a couple of retainers on hand for when, you know, a few Trollocs or Murdral happen to make it through the gateway. And they're like, kill, kill, kill. Okay, where are we going now? And they've got a map. They're getting reports. From Matt, I believe, where the enemy lines are.
Yep.
And he's saying, okay, now open one here. And he says to Yashaman, hey, open one right here. And the Yashaman goes, cool. Boom! Fuckers.
The Yashaman goes,
yeah.
I got you, babe.
It just, Talmanes is.
It's so good.
Without Talmanes, we don't. First off, we don't have Matt. We don't have the Band of the Red Hand.
Nope. Both of which are super necessary early on.
And we don't have that. Well, we don't have the dragons because Talmanes is the one who secured the dragons in Andor. Talmanes doesn't get enough love.
He doesn't.
He just doesn't.
There's one other thing that I want to say about him in terms of just a general statement. Because, of course, when it comes right down to it, Matt has Tavir in armor. He does. That's literally...
Absolutely. 100%.
Literally how Robert Jordan wanted it to be. And honestly, again, I think that's right. Matt is a Tavirin. Matt has Tavirin armor. Matt needs to have Tavirin armor at all of the times that he does. And part of that Tavirin armor is his domino nature, is his incredible luck. He runs around with a number of people who do not have that. Yes. Now, granted, I will say that some of those people, including Talmadas, recognize that he has that and says, oh, I want to be around the person who has plot armor. I do. I definitely want to be around the person who has plot armor because I can see it and I like it.
Well, and but that's also how Perrin manages to amass a force.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Is that very concept?
Yep. But when it comes, I mean, right,
if you
down
think about the boys when they met, sorry, Daniel.
No, you're good.
When you think about the people and the forces they amass, like Rand amasses forces because they hear dragon.
Yeah.
And they're like, ultimate bandwagon, let me hop on. And more people hop on that than ever did on the Patriots bandwagon.
Right.
I say, well, as good. A Patriots fan, Patriot. Or I at least was. I'm more of a Brady fan than a Patriots fan, except for the, you know, the Fleetgate. But whatever. Anyway, and then for Perrin, it's his hometown. It's people that grew up with him, that know him, that love him, right, that, you know, they're like, this is one of our people, and they follow him. So all of those, they have a very intrinsic motive.
He's a smart guy, but he's our guy.
Yeah, but they have a very intrinsic, either emotional or like philosophical motive for why they follow. For Matt, they follow Matt purely because of his credit and ability. He is, yes, of the three, the only one that has followers purely because of earning it. Yes, now the things that allowed him to earn it, yeah, he unintentionally, yes, kind of got and everything, but he paid for it. So yes, I think, well, that's a very interesting distinction.
Talmadas' understanding of Dias D'Mar allows that to be advertised better.
Oh yeah.
Yes. No, and that's so.
That's again, so just Matt being super lucky to be like, here's this guy that makes us grow for what we need, and plot device. I mean, armor. I mean, Tavirin.
I mean, Talmadas. Tavirin.
Talmadas. I mean, what?
Talmadas.
Again, one of the things that most impresses
me. Body wash smells really good. By the way, I left my body wash and shampoo at your house. Sorry. Continue.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming in for a random statement of the day, Andrew, first
I moved my hand past there my face and I could smell it, and it's brand new. And
go ahead, Daniel. Hit it.
I smell good, boys.
But yeah, so, I mean, Josh, the scene that you already brought up is one of my favorite payoffs of this, if you will, which is, again, the scene where he gets nicked with the Murdraw blade, but he and the other people around him, but he at the head of the army in some ways, the hand at the head of the Red Hand, takes Shadowspawn out in large numbers. And that's one of the things that always impressed me about Talmadas, is not only does he have the ability to go ahead and see Matt as more than any other Carrion and Lord would see him as, not only does he have the intelligence to learn from Matt and be that much better for actually taking advantage of, but, you know, taking advantage of, not taking advantage of, Matt's knowledge and the fact that he has 85 lives in his past that he can look on, or whatever the fuck it is. Oh, but also, every time that Matt gets into trouble, Talmadas is right there. Every time Matt gets in trouble, Talmadas is one of the people that has to get him out of it. Without plot armor, Talmadas kills a bunch of Shido Aiel in all of their battles without plot armor or an Ashandarai. He kills a bunch of Shadow Spawn without plot armor or an Ashandarai.
Or I can't the shimmer it anymore.
And so, like, again, when you put yourself in a position where you have to be really good because you're following a person who's not only really good, but is also stupid lucky. If you can actually survive that, you must be worth it. You must actually have enough to back it up. And Telmon is there from beginning to end as far as Matt fuckery goes.
Well, I love, and it's one of the more like famous, I guess, moments for Telmanis. So he's fighting one of the Fates and like one of their swords catches his cheek. And the Fate is fully expecting Telmanis to like clutch it and like fall over screaming. And Telmanis, because he's on fucking PCP now, fucking starts laughing. Uh-huh. And he literally looks at the Fate and is like, I've already had one of your flaming swords in me, you son of a goat. Then he screams and attacks time and time again.
Yep. Oh, so good.
And then kills it. And like,
yeah.
Melton is like, light, another one.
Talmon is, he's well, just and again, that good.
How, oh, and then there's the humor from him because he's like,
story actually have killed a Murderall on their own.
Well, I mean, exactly. Talmanes, you know, believes that he figured out the secret. He's like, I found the secret to defeating them. You just have to be dead already. Two.
I mean, fair enough. Talmanes kills two. There are like four other characters in the other in the entire story. You can say that. Now Rand gets a little bit of an extra thing because he kills like 30 fucking he's got like 80 goddamn decks. But like but like Lon has a little bit of trouble with a number of Murderalls. The fact that Telmanes even kills one is already impressive.
Yeah.
He kills two of them. Now, yeah, he's on PCP. He already knows he's dead. He absolutely is just going on the fact that I'll just take as many down with me as I possibly can. And there is strength to that. There is determination to that. And there is will to that. But it doesn't take away from the fact that he kills two fucking Murderall and who knows how many Trollocs.
Well, I love what he says to Aludra because they're talking about this and, you know, she's talking about his face and he's like, yeah. Oh, it's just a cut. And she's like, and the veins? And that's when he notices that, like, you know, he's all fucked up and he's like, oh, that? I'm dying, unfortunately. Terrible, terribly tragic. Wouldn't happen to have any brandy, would you? And it's like,
his sense of humor is amazing. Like, so Matt often accuses him of not having a sense of humor because every time Matt's like, you know, fuck her, I barely know her.
Talmanis
is just like,
well, then why would you Matt. Fuck her? If you don't know her, weird. Then why would don't, you? I don't understand. Don't
tell me about it. I don't. But then, like, every time Matt, like, is, like, fucking up, Talmanis is there just kind of being like, Just watching it. Not saying shit. It's like, you know when you're doing something stupid and your best buddies are sitting there just like, no, go ahead.
Yep.
No, watch.
No, I'll hold the glass. Yeah, absolutely. Which hand do you want me to hold your beer in?
Yeah. I don't care. I'll hold your beer. I'll hold both of them. Come here.
I feel like no, every honestly, time Tomates calls Matt my lord, it's like that subtle like, you're like, this is fucking stupid. I'll follow you, but this is stupid.
It reminds me of that Game of Thrones moment where Arya Stark is captured by Tywin. And he's like, I know who you are. And he's like, if you want to pretend like you're not highborn, you call people my lord, not my lord.
Yeah.
And she goes, okay, my lord. And like, he knows what it does to Matt. He knows what calling him my lord means to him.
And he just does.
And how annoyed Matt gets when he does it. And he's like, my lord, my lord, my lord, my lord, my lord. And Matt's just like, stop it!
I feel like Talmanis is one of those characters. And I almost want to say that Robert Jordan probably had to do more prep and research to try and get some of these background characters just absolutely perfect. Because Talmanis, I'm sorry, Tom Manes is, in my opinion, a not only a necessary character, but a crucial necessary character. And yep. without him, so much of this pattern runs, and it's just not. And that's why Tom Manes is a part of this background breakdown.
Indeed.
Because he deserves more love.
Gotta get the Winston Churchill going on there. Breakdown.
Epic breakdowns of history.
I mean, Tom Manes could be considered to be a sort of Churchillian type character. Although Churchill never actually got into the fighting himself.
Yeah, no, he actually, I feel like Elaine is probably the most Churchill-y character with the baths.
Probably.
I feel like I can tell when people are walking into your vicinity because it changes your background.
It's true.
Who dare intrude on the succession of the Black Tower?
So last thoughts on Talmadge. I will go ahead and start. I agree with you, Josh, that he is super necessary, and I've always been very impressed with Talmadge as a character. He really does have just that sense right away to, regardless of any prior thoughts, regardless of any prior background, and especially regardless of biases, he sees people for what they are, and he's absolutely ready and willing and able to deal with Matt as he should be dealt with, rather than what most of the other Tyran High Lords or the Carianan High Lords or whatever think of him, and throws in his lot with exactly the right person for everything he wants. And then not only that, is able to back it up. And that to me is always just super impressive. The ability not just to see what is before you, but the ability to back up your decisions. And Talmadge does that in just amazing fashion. I think he's a great character that, as you have stated, makes Matt into who he is, and preps him. I mean, again, Matt has so many other things going for him, but I think without the running around with Talmadge for as long as he does, and without running around with the band, which is again a construct of Talmadge in so many ways, Matt isn't the person we need at the last battle. He can't take over for the five great captains that are out, and therefore, it's like saying that Talmadge in some ways is like Matt's dad, because he makes him into the man that we need, rather than the one that we have at the time that they meet.
Right, and I will agree with that, Andrew. What you got, buddy?
Oh man, I have a rum and Dr. Pepper. Duh.
Nice. Thanks for tuning in to the Black Tower Podcast.
I also have some rum and Dr. Pepper in a particular frosty glass. Ooh,
that's a pretty sweet.
Sexiest chef.
I didn't get the memo with the frosty glasses tonight, so I'm the only asshole not drinking out of a frosty glass.
Well, the fun thing is we now know the secret of your cup, so.
That's true.
And if you want to learn the secret of my cup, you'll have to come to my house and drink with me.
True.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in tonight. You guys have been amazing. We love you. We think you're pretty awesome, which is why we like to be here shooting the shit on our favorite subject, the Wheel of Time.
Yep. We will be doing our next background breakdown in 3 weeks. And all I will say about that is the character that we will be discussing, Jesus Christ, English word. Discussing has been mentioned in this episode. So as you listen to this, feel free to leave your guesses below you in the comment section on YouTube, comments on the video, whatever you want. Have fun. If you don't want to do it, it's fine. I understand. Clicking to type in a line and typing a few words is very hard for a lot of people. So don't worry about it. But
don't antagonize the listeners, Andrew.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It's a challenge. It's a challenge.
Before that episode, we have 3 pieces of homework for you. I know that we've already mentioned a little bit of them, but number one,
is get yourself on over to the Black Tower Pod, or without the just blacktowerpod.com. Check out all of our stuff. It's literally got all of our links there, including to our merch. If you want some fun frosty mugs, you can go ahead and check out New Creations by Jen, which you can get on our website, as well as all of our t-shirt designs and things like that, which are super fun. Run around the forums. You can see all of Shadi's comments on everything in the forums before you. Those who came before will also come again. All of that good stuff. And have a good time. Once you are done there, pop on over to thegreatblight.com to find what you're listening to next, as long as you're caught up on us. If you haven't caught up on us yet, get yourself there. But if you've already caught us up on our podcast, pop on over there and see other podcast creators, artists, YouTubers, just the works. Everything you want is also over there. Check out the wiki all the way up to wherever you've read, whether that's book 2, book 12, or the entire series. And last, once you're done with all of that, make sure that you pop on over to facebook.com/rockpick. That is like rock pickaxe, not rock picture.
So R-O-C-K-P-I-C-K.
Make sure that you get yourself all of the wonderful shiny click clacks, whether that is for things that you think actually, you know, will make you feel better, which awesome. That's fantastic. Whether it's just, ooh, this is shiny and I like it, that's also awesome. And while you're there, grab yourself a subscription box and give Josh more work in 21 days.
Yeah, please do that.
It's super fun. They're super good people, and it's actually really awesome products and stuff that you get out of it. So definitely make sure that you run around the internet and have a good time.
Absolutely. So to everybody out there, wherever you are, whatever time it may be, whatever corner of the globe you find yourself in, the Black Tower Podcast wants to know that we are truly grateful to you for listening. We're truly grateful for you to be in here, truly grateful for you supporting us. Thank you so much for being here. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive on a truly tremendous character. We're grateful to you. And from all of us here at the Black Tower, I have been Josh.
I have been Andrew. Sorry, I was trying to look for my click clacks, but I don't know where the bag is.
Indeed. And we'll get it next time. I have been Daniel. We hope that, again, all of you are having a great day wherever you are, whenever it is, and wherever you might find yourself. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.